This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Just checking. The end of the world can come at any time. You know, Jesus says that in the Gospels, so I'd like to spend my pension first, but, you know, you never know. This morning, I bring you greetings, as I always like to do as I travel round our diocese, from our fellow Episcopalians in over 100 congregations and schools and other ministries, from Jensen Beach in the north to Key West in the south. We speak many languages, come from many countries, and embody many cultures. But we are united, as we declared at the opening of this liturgy this morning, in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Kate and I are delighted to be here today with you for our first Sunday visitation. While I've been here before for other things, this is our first time with you for Sunday worship. And it is especially good to be with you for this 60th anniversary celebration. How many of you were here last night for that splendid meal? Thank you. And we thanked Father Marty for cooking for 6 weeks before last night, but let's thank him again and all of those who helped for a wonderful meal last night. For those of you who didn't come to dinner last night, there are doggy bags in the parish hall because there was, I'm sure, a lot of food left over for the other multitude. This 60th anniversary is a great milestone in the life of this congregation and this school, as well as in our diocese. You are, in fact, older than our diocese, as our Diocese of Southeast Florida was not created until 1969, when you were just in your pre-adolescence. And behaving a bit like that, too, if I can be frank. I've read some of the history. Bob Moore will tell you more, actually, full of great stories. On this auspicious occasion, when we celebrate your 60th anniversary, first of all, I do want to commend your rector, Father Marty, his wife, Dee, your other clergy, the Reverend Wendy Tobias, the Reverend Mary Norton, the Reverend Lynn Jones, the chaplain of the school, who not only work so hard for this church and school community, but who are all of them also so active in our wider diocese, and indeed beyond the bounds of our diocese. I would also like to acknowledge the leadership of the wardens and the vestry, Mr. Kyle Aubrey, the head of the school, the board, the faculty, and the staff, and all the leadership of both this parish and this school who work so hard to make this a thriving community. Your history, from the founding of the fledgling worship group that started to meet in 1953, to the formal establishment of a parish and your first vestry meetings, to the founding of the school in 1958, to the acquisition of this property, to all the building and development here over the years, to the range of mission and ministry that has happened here from the very beginning. All of this is a remarkable story of accomplishment. Please continue to pray for your clergy and leadership of both this parish and this school, and know that I pray for you every day. Let me also congratulate those who are being confirmed and received into the church today. This is a great day in your ongoing and developing relationship with our Lord and with the church, and we welcome you and your families and friends who are here to support you. Just as this congregation has been so important and nurturing to you, know also that you are a great blessing to the rest of us in your willingness to make the commitments that you are making today. Every decade of the life of this parish and school has seen significant achievement and development. The energy that is reflected in the gathering of that first group of parishioners who were looking for a convenient site for a new parish in the early 1950s in the southern part of Boynton Beach, where the population was growing, and all the efforts to acquire the land and get the building work underway are a remarkable testimony to the zeal of so many in those early years to make the community that we are now a part of a living reality. And it's hard to imagine that when this property was first acquired, there was very little else around here, and you could see apparently all the way to Lake Ida. Some of you don't even know where Lake Ida is now, let alone not be able to see it. Then there was the vision for the school, itself a great act of faith in those early years, and one that has faced considerable challenges over the years. 30 years after its founding, the school was almost closed, and we are all so grateful for the commitment and imagination of all those who in those days found a way to keep the school going. And we give thanks today for all of those whose energy continues to enable that to happen. The long rectorship of Father Stoutzenberger began in the 1960s and ended in the 1980s, and saw a whole range of growth and change, from flourishing youth groups and Sunday school, the installation of stained glass and various aspects of the beautification of this church, the broadcasting of services on the radio, and so much more. In the 1980s and the 1990s, there was growth in outreach, ministry with young people, spiritual direction, the establishment of a host of new lay ministries, and service to the growing Haitian population in this area. After some difficulty in the 1980s, the school was set on a fresh footing. And since Father Marty's arrival here in 2001, there have been, in addition to more good meals than anyone can remember, one of which we ate last night, a remarkable list of activities, from the intentional building up of the congregation in the spiritual life, to the development of new opportunities for worship, prison ministry, pilgrimages for youth and adults, the Community Caring Center and the Palanca Kitchen, support of Holy Redeemer not very far from here, as well as the church in Toliara, and ongoing attentiveness to education and scholarships, and so much more. Yours is a remarkable story, and when the history book is published, in, I hope, just a few days, we're waiting. The ink is drying, we think. Buy it, read it, and know the story of the life of this congregation. It's full of inspiration, hope, and extraordinary accomplishment. These brief moments and people that I've identified are only a fraction of the layers of prayer and sacrifice, hard work and imagination, and most of all of risk-taking that have all formed the foundation of your life here over the years. Of course, there have been difficult times and real setbacks and even some failures. There was a hope that there might be a high school here, but after an attempt to build the grades, the plan was abandoned. But what was important in this and every other venture that did not work was not the failure, but the willingness to take the risk to see if a new idea would work. After all, had the founders of this congregation not been willing to take the risk and see if a church would work in this part of Boynton Beach, where, by the way, as I've said, hardly anybody was living in those days, we would not be here this morning. So we are heirs of those who knew what it was like to have vision, to take risks, and to do the hard work of bringing that vision into reality. In the light of your history, therefore, to have St. Joseph as your patron saint is a wonderful gift. St. Joseph is not a frequent patron of parishes in the Episcopal Church, so that in and of itself is remarkable. We've paid comparatively little attention to him in our tradition, and that's a pity. When he first came here, Father Mike Cassell changed the name of the newsletter from St. Joseph, Our Guardian, to St. Joseph, the Carpenter. That probably caused a big stink. We don't remember that, but you know, these are the kinds of things that really get a congregation excited. Feeding the poor, being nice to each other, those are less exciting. But boy, change the name of the newsletter and we can all get our blood pressure up. The history of this parish and school are powerful reminders to us that St. Joseph has been both one who has been a true guardian of this community, both in good times and in bad, as well as a patron who, like all artists and craftspeople, has been an inspiration to creativity. So in fact, St. Joseph has been both a guardian and a craftsman here. By tradition, St. Joseph, because he was the selfless guardian of the infant and child Jesus and Jesus' mother, is the chief inspiration and patron of all those, both clergy and laity, who care for and look after and foster and make happen the mission, ministry, and well-being of Christ's living body, the Church. Just as St. Joseph cared for, protected, nurtured, taught, and raised Jesus, so in our turn we are called to nurture the ongoing mission and ministry of the Church in our own day, following St. Joseph's example. The history of this parish and school are ample evidence that in every generation, the clergy and people of this congregation have taken this responsibility seriously. In his fostering of the child Jesus, St. Joseph is also an example to us of the care of children, a vocation that this parish and school have exercised with such attentiveness for so long. If running a parish is hard work, running a school is no walk in the roses either. And your commitment to this is one of the great achievements of this community. We Episcopalians have been in the school business longer than almost anyone else. Our tradition of education goes back centuries to the medieval cathedral schools of England, and indeed we have been in education longer than the state. And to have schools as part of our mission and ministry is a reflection of our own DNA. It is important to remember that where parish and school exist together, there is a unique and powerful relationship. Our parishes need our schools where they exist, not least because the school is a great manifestation of outreach and mission. But our schools also need our parishes where they find their homes, because we all know, those of us who are sitting here this morning, that without a commitment to their spiritual, as well as to their intellectual and physical development, our children will not grow up into the fully mature adults that they have the capacity to become. So St. Joseph reminds us in parish and in school of the importance of this responsibility to nurture children and young people that we exercise together. There's a third aspect of St. Joseph's patronage that is crucial for us, and there's a hint of it in our gospel reading this morning. One of the things we learn about Jesus' family from our gospel this morning is that he and Joseph and Mary were part of a fairly large community of family and close friends, because they could be traveling together for 2 days and not realize that one of them was off somewhere else. Jesus' own family, therefore, becomes a metaphor for our own community of faith here at St. Joseph's, where we have not only a thriving parish and a busy school, but also the great gift of four different weekend services with four unique and very different styles of worship, and so many activities and ways of serving. With all of these things, to understand ourselves as a united community can sometimes be a bit of a challenge, and it takes some application. Whether we like to worship at the unplugged service or at this more traditional mass, whether we find our Christian lives more fully expressed in acts of service or in times of contemplative prayer, whether we're engaged in the formation of youth or the care of the elderly, whether we like to do the cooking or the washing up, we are together here all part of the one family of Christ that makes up the parish and the school under the patronage of St. Joseph. St. Joseph's attentiveness to Christ's family is a reminder to us that however diverse we may be, even in the different aspects of life on the top of this little hill in Boynton Beach, we are all one in Christ, and we are all one in purpose. Everything that we do contributes to the well-being of the mission of the whole. It is not surprising that the mission of this parish is to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family and nurture their spiritual development. There's that image again, right from your own mission statement. Christ's family, under the patronage of St. Joseph, under his guardianship and care. In this and in all your care of the parish and the school, for young and old alike, in being guardians and yet also creators of new ministries, you are a mirror of your patron who embodies all this. The tradition of St. Joseph indicates to us that he was not always immediately enthusiastic about everything that was going on in his life and what he was having to face. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, when St. Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant, he weighs his options and wonders if he should back out at that point. But the tradition is also very clear, both in the scriptures and in the broader tradition of St. Joseph that emerged after his death, that his reticence and uncertainty were turned into a unique commitment, both to Mary and to Jesus, that never wavered until his death. So he becomes to us not just an example of guardianship and imaginative creativity. He becomes one who is a model to us of what it means to wrestle with the hard realities of life, make a commitment, and see that commitment through. May our patron, St. Joseph, who has watched so carefully over the community of this church and school for over 60 years now, continue to pray for us and be a daily reminder to us of the grace to overcome our hesitancy to grasp at new possibilities, to grow in our care and nurture of children and youth, to acknowledge and respect the dignity of our senior members, and to take a fresh step in the fulfillment of our mission to bring all people into Christ's family. Amen.